Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, let's get petty. It's Pettycast time. Tuesday at 8 a.m. People love the Pettycast. And I think, Seth, since I get is people are ready to feel petty this morning. We'll get back to the Texans in the next segment.
We can bring it back to the Texans every damn time. I'm just trying to figure out, like, I'm trying to figure out when is it. I'm intrigued by how they're teaching or coaching CJ to go through his progressions. Because there's times I get spreading the ball out and being, but there's a part of it where, man, sometimes you just got to recognize that, boy, the coverage suits a throw to Nico right now over the middle. Like, don't be looking at Dalton Schultz right now.
What are you?
Like, just and it's happening. The other thing too is on these zero blitzes, the receivers, again, just as it's been for the last couple of years, sometimes seem completely unaware of the challenge that, like, you should be able to recognize that there's no defensive backs out there because everybody's blitzing. Just get your eyes on CJ. Flatten your route. Do everything. All these things. I'm petty about that.
So, I was going to say, was going to ask you, what are you most petty about with the Texans right now?
The passing offense and the stagnation from year to year.
Yeah.
And the lack of options, either the lack of options or CJ not exploiting the options. And all of that comes down to, I don't know what goes on behind closed doors. But when a team sends a whole bunch of super aggressive blitzes, there should be opportunities.
Yeah.
The protection is going to break down. And yet it just seems like CJ and his receivers are not nearly often enough on the same page in those situations. And especially when it's a guy like Todd Bowles, he's just like last week with the Rams. I think they gamed it perfectly.
We played this one yesterday. Let's get to the Pettycast. We previewed the Pettycast yesterday with this one. This was Brian Kelly, LSU head coach, following a 20-10 win over Florida, where the very first question that he gets, after going through an opening monologue where he cited what was good and what was bad in the game, made sure to point out they got a win. They're 3-0 now, I believe. They're top five team. LSU's in a good place right now. Brian Kelly was not in a good place, though, when the first question right out of the chute after a win was this.
Brian in the back, I know you love these immediate post-game sessions, but what are you seeing with your offense?
Stop. Really? Is that the first question? We won the game 20-10. Try another question. What do you want me to tell you? I just laid it out for you. We played the game to win the game. We played the game to win the game.
All right. How about third down then? What is going on with third down?
One game. Last game, we were great on third down. You're looking at this from the wrong perspective. LSU won the football game. Won the game. I don't know what you want from me. What do you want? You want us to win 70-0 against Florida to keep you happy?
No, I think people want to know why you can't run the ball, quite honestly.
We can run the ball. Did you see the last play of the game? That's all you need. You just need one. There's a ridiculous questions. And I'm getting tired of it. That football team just worked their tail off to get an SEC win, and you want to know what's wrong. You know what? You're spoiled. You're spoiled. This team is 17-1 at night. 17-1. Give them some respect. How about that? Give them some respect instead of micro-analyzing every little thing. This is ridiculous. For a group of seasoned reporters, that kind of question is so out of line.
I know. You'll appreciate this.
Yeah.
You'll appreciate this. One of the replies that I saw to that rant was people going, they're 17-1 at night. It's only week four.
Yeah, no, yeah. He's he's talking about his
tenure
record
there,
since he's been there.
Yeah, yeah.
I totally get it. After listening to that a couple more times, I'm totally on Brian Kelly's side on this. And that there is a part, and it gets super, super annoying. You just come in, you have an awesome win, you're excited about it. Did you play the perfect football game? No! Nobody ever does. And it's the way the guy asked the question. He did ask it in terms of, like, what is this overarching huge problem with your football team early in the season? As opposed to something specifically of, like, even if he'd ask, like, hey, why were you having a hard time running the ball or something? It's a Debbie Downer not for the purpose of journalistic integrity or anything. It was just kind of a D-bag way to ask the question.
Yeah, two things on that. Maybe counterpoint. I don't know. One is informational. Brian Kelly has apologized to that reporter.
Ah.
He apologized. He said it during his, and they don't say in the article the reporter's name, like he's a minor or something like that.
Yeah. These are just kids.
Yeah, yeah. But he said during his Monday news conference, Kelly did, because what we heard was on the post-game press conference, said he texted with the reporter, offered my apology for the way I handled it. It's important to understand that you know my standards relative to how we work with the media on a day-to-day basis need to be higher. I take responsibility for that, and I'll be better in the future. The only other thing I would say, Seth, is that the job of the media, and I think a lot of the media that, especially the ones that go to these press conferences and ask questions, they view themselves as a conduit to the fans. And I can tell you, having been to dozens of LSU games and been married to somebody who has several siblings who went to LSU.
Yeah.
That was probably the biggest question rolling around the tailgates after the game.
Right.
After a win over Florida's. What the hell was the problem on third down?
Yeah, no. Hey,
LSU
Colin,
fans are not reasonable people.
Can you play the initial question again, just the very first part? And that's where I think that. Here we go.
Brian in the back. I know you love these immediate post game sessions, but what are you seeing with your offense?
Stop. Really?
Okay. You know what? Yeah, I guess it was almost the way he couched it. Like, in trying to couch it, it made it sound worse than it was. Like, he could have just said, so what are you seeing with the offense? Why did it take a while for it to click, something like that?
It sounded like he knew what was coming.
Yeah.
You know, like, hey, I know you love these press conferences.
But that is almost, I have these flashbacks when I listen to that, to the first year of the franchise, when we beat the Steelers. We had no business beating the Steelers. Yeah. But we had this defensive effort where we had three defensive touchdowns.
We won 24-6 and had like 30 yards of offense.
Crazy. It was awesome. And I remember on the plane ride on the way home, there was a veteran player. I honestly can't think of his name right now. He's a veteran defensive player who was inactive for the game because he was soft. And we're talking about the game, and he said something like, I said something like, man, that was one of the coolest defensive efforts I've been a part of. And he said something like, I mean, you guys allowed like 380 yards or something. And I flipped out on him. I'm like, what the hell?
You're spoiled.
Yeah. That's how Brian Kelly felt in that moment, I think. Like, man, we just had a big, awesome victory.
Yeah.
Like, all right. Yeah, we got to clean some stuff up. But, like, this is what you have to say?
That's a Monday question.
Yeah.
Monday. It's not a Saturday night question.
No, and it was the way he coached it. It was almost like the reporter was trying to consciously diminish Brian Kelly's joy. Like, hey, I know you love enjoying the victories and all, but seriously?
Yeah.
Yeah. I support Brian Kelly, and I don't think he should have apologized.
Okay, next one. Next one. This is Dave Portnoy, Barstool founder, now part of Big Noon Kickoff on Fox. And I think most of our audience knows who Dave Portnoy is. Not a fan of the pass interference call on Travis Hunter. Travis Hunter, the we're going to change the world of football player, rookie on the Jags, who played 40-some-odd snaps on offense, played 30-some-odd snaps on defense against the Bengals because the Jags had injuries in the secondary.
He had three receptions for 22 yards
on
offense.
Yeah, he's changing the game.
Changing the game and expectations, yes.
Got called for a pass interference call, which was, it was marginal. You could go either way on it. Dave Portnoy was not going either way on it. He thought this was a horrible call.
Let's start by saying this. Yes, I bet the Jags. Yes, this was 4th and 5 in the game. You call this pass interference with the game on the line? This is a ridiculous call. You can't have refs determining a game. This is absolutely insane. He looks back, deflects the ball away. He's playing patty cake with his other hand. It's how you teach it. This is how you teach it. Absolutely perfect defense from Travis Hunter. You throw a flag on 4th and 5. This is disgusting. Absolutely disgusting football. And enough of it, Goodell. Make these refs full time. This is disgusting. Disgusting. This ref should be suspended. Make him watch the film. Where do you have pass interference? Where? He turns around, knocks it away. It's perfect defense. If I'm a Jags fan, I'm boycotting.
No. He had the receiver's left arm pinned.
Holding it, yeah.
Yeah, there was that was a classic TV angle one. If there was an overhead shot of it or something, but I'm being honest, I was thinking about this yesterday. So I was driving around waiting for that atrocious football game to begin. If I had bet on the Jags or if I were a Jags fan, I 100% would have been livid with that call. I think it was a ticky tack enough call, and yet it was definitely pass interference. So people are going to be upset with that play regardless, depending on what your allegiances were. Yep. It was either you got to call that or no, that's ticky-tack. But it was, I'll credit Travis Hunter with, I think, being pretty, he almost did a really, really good job of disguising it and being subtle.
Yep.
Like, you got to be really subtle with your interference, and he just wasn't quite subtle enough.
Yep.
He's also not going to get the benefit of the doubt.
Not as a rookie. Even as a highly drafted rookie, you're not going to get the benefit. And the game was in Cincinnati. There's that, too.
You know, I mean, there were times last night where I think that Nico or Derek Stingley and Mike Evans were going at it.
That was a fun battle.
There's an element of, I think Stingley, A, maybe gets a little bit of the benefit of the doubt, but B, also that Mike Evans and him were battling so well that there's stuff that could have been called ticky tack, but I think it was very much a back and forth.
Yep.
And it wasn't at that last vulnerable moment where, I mean, that's exactly why you throw those back shoulder or underthrown balls, is because you get pass interference calls that. What Derek Stingley would do when he's really on his game is he would have turned for the ball already.
Mm-hmm.
Travis Hunter didn't know to go up for the ball. If he had done the exact same stuff but turned a little bit earlier, they wouldn't have called it. But he just stayed basically face guarding him until the last moment.
That was the Tyreek Hill pattern against Stingley. It was thrown to the exact same part of the field.
Yeah.
Into the exact, you know, down the sideline, trying to put it where only the receiver can get it. And you're right, Stingley turns and probably goes up and high points that play.
Yeah. Stingley and Evans had some really good battles last night.
That was fun, man. Yeah. Didn't it feel like, it felt like Evans had like 5 catches for 56 yards. It felt like more than that. Maybe because
it started early. Well, is that one beautiful pass that Baker made that there's just really not a lot of defense for.
Yeah.
And then they tried it the other opposite side of the field on the next play. Both those plays, Jalen Petrie was blitzing, and Jalen does not close in on the quarterback very fast at all. Like that, Jalen Petrie, it feels like a linebacker blitzing from off the edge. He's not as fast. They keep treating Jalen Petrie like he's a cornerback, and he is not.
And one of his blitzes, he just gets steered right out of the picture, and there's this huge lane for Baker to run through.
Yeah.
It was bad, man. It was bad. I'm going to get petty about something I just saw on TV. We've only got a couple minutes here. This is what the Texans have done for Baker Mayfield last night. Is the conversation on TV, the previous segment on ESPN, was, has Baker Mayfield cemented himself as a tier one quarterback?
Oh, I felt in the immediate
job,
moment
defense.
After the game, I felt like he did. I'll tell you what, Baker Mayfield is fully willing to die on the football field for a win. I think there's, and if he were more slight of build, I would say it's stupid of him, but I think he's built for the contact. And CJ Gardner-Johnson, honestly, all right. I don't know what he was saying to him while Baker Mayfield was down on the ground with potentially what, you know, in that moment looked like it might be a bad injury or whatever. But you talk smack to Baker Mayfield all you want, man. He torched your guys' asses. He just destroyed you guys. He tore you apart in the fourth quarter when it mattered. We can talk swarm. We can talk about this great mentality and how hard you guys hit and everything. You guys got destroyed in the fourth quarter. You got absolutely worked over. You got destroyed. And you're talking to smack to a guy that just ran for a first down on 4th and 10.
Well, that's during the game. Did you hear about this thing with C.J. Gardner-Johnson after the game?
No, what happened?
Okay, so I get a text from my photog for the Houston Press, Jack Orman, and he texts me. I'm not sure if it's been reported, but C.J. Gardner-Johnson got into it with backup tight end Payne Durham from the Buccaneers after the game. Durham was running his mouth. Now, again, this is secondhand from my photog. Okay, so this is not a report by a journal or anything. This is somebody who's down on the field taking pictures of all the things going on. And he sent me 3 pictures of it. I'll send them to you. He said that CJ, backup tight end Payne Durham, after the game was running his mouth. CJ started yelling back and then threw a punch. I'm not sure if it connected, but Texans staff had to pull him back.
Mm.
Can guys get suspended for throwing punches after the game? Was his question. I'm like, hell yeah, they can.
Yeah, we don't need to be dry snitching this, though. That's, okay, cool. So there was some kind of an exchange. We can
exchange,
just,
look at that. Look how pissed he is. Ixnay
on the unch pay, okay? We've got things to, worry about.
Well, I'm sure it's,
we don't need to be, the defense, they need to dial back the psycho, like 0.5. They play so stupid at times. I love the way they play. I love their passion. I love their energy. They can't tackle for crap.
Well, I don't want to hear.
It's an atrocious display of tackling.
I don't want to hear Swarm anymore. I just don't want to hear Swarm.
The Swarm is hurting them.
The Swarm is
hurting them. They miss 5 tackles on a single play.
The byproduct of Swarm is missed tackles, stupid penalties, missed assignments. Swarm is a license to just go be a psycho.
Yeah.
Which is not conducive to playing good, sound football. I don't want to hear about swarming anymore. This is a non-swarm zone. I'm burning my swarm t-shirt after the show today.
If swarm were a pickup technique, swarm would be the guy that's like walking up to every girl in the bar going, "You're hot!
Yeah!
You want to do it?
Oh, yeah!
What are you doing? Hey, I drive over. You want to see my car?
Yeah.
It costs a lot of money. Does that turn you on?
And then if he happened to get in position to actually do it,
right,
he would miss.
Yeah, I know. He would miss. So that's my.
There's so many things I want to say.
That's my show poodle, sir. That's a throw pillow.
That's not me. Wrong again.
Texans defense is out there making love to them.
I love that.
The Texans defense. You got the woman brought you home. She's waiting in her bedroom, you're out. Never mind.
Swarm,
you're out on the couch.
Swarm is a bad drunk, man.
Yeah.
Swarm is a bad drunk. Get creative, text page. What does Swarm stand for?
What
does it stand for?
Swarm.
Send us better special work ethic and relentless mindset are out the window. I need new acronyms for Swarm. Send them in.
This has gone off the deep end if it hasn't already.
Hell yeah. People agreeing with you. Sean, don't snitch. There are a ton of people that saw it, all right, out on the field. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. That was a petty cast with only a couple of petties, but I had fun.
Are your legs tired? Because you've been running over my frame today. Swarm!
That guy's so swarmy.
Are you just... I bought you a drink. That's what the Texans defense is. I bought you a drink.
Oh, this is.
You're just gonna let me buy you a drink
guy.
And then run into the end zone?
Okay.
I bought you a drink.
Serious question.
Yeah.
Is there no more Circle of Swarm?
Circle of drunken pickup lines.
We'll figure it out by Friday. I do like the Circle of Swarm.
I just like a Circle of Swarm is you hire a carpenter, you walk in after he's been working on your cabinets for an hour, and he's just sitting there with a hammer banging the granite. Or like, look how many cracks there are in the granite.
Circle of Swarm might be on a suspended sentence right now. All right, Sheldon Rankins in the postgame yesterday. This was about as good a conversation and as frank a conversation as a defensive player could have right after the game about their performance of the defense. You'll hear from Sheldon Rankin sitting down with me and Clint Sterner after the game coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
It's a Mokarem Injury Lawyers Reaction Tuesday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Right, Quint Sterner and I spent a few minutes with Texans defensive tackle Sheldon Rankins after the game last night. Sheldon Rankins had a sack in the game, should have had two, but had one called back because Dylan Horton got a penalty. But Sheldon Rankins, I thought one of the bright spots on the interior, he had a decent game last night. He joined Quint Sterner and I following the game to talk about the Texans and their collapse in the fourth quarter against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Sheldon, really appreciate you making some time for us here. You guys had, since the beginning of the second quarter, had really dominated them defensively and kept them out of the end zone. What went differently for you guys on that last drive?
It really just comes down to, man, we just got to make plays when the opportunities present themselves. Felt like, you know, from a call and personnel standpoint, you know, we were dialed in, and at the end of the day, playing a division champ, you know, a really good team, you know, we're not gonna act like, you know, Tampa's a slouch. You know, they're an extremely talented team. Baker's an extremely talented quarterback. They got playmakers all over the place. So in a close game like that, where obviously we feel like, you know, we should have walked out of there with that win, in a close game like that, you gotta find a way to make those plays when they present themselves, because, you know, if you don't, a team like that will find a way to capitalize and make you pay for it.
Sheldon, I think the 30 rushes for 169 yards. I mean, they almost had 6 yards a carry right there. And what's the answer to fixing that with the defense? I mean, we know you guys are an upfield penetrating style of defense, and so there's obviously, you got to give to win a little bit there. What's the answer to that issue that reared its head today?
Yeah, look, I think, I obviously know a little more once I, you know, kind of watch the tape. But just, you know, from you know, just being out there, there's a lot of leaky yardage. You know, there's a lot of times where, you know, we're hitting a guy at, you know, maybe a gain of two, but, you know, he's, you know, slipping off and falling forward for another three. Now it's second and five. You know, play calling is, you know, for an offense is extremely different, you know, second and eight versus second and five. Mm-hmm. You know, they're ahead of the change. You know, they can kind of call whatever they want. You know, you got a team like, you know, you saw in those, you know, those drives where we kept them second and eight, second and nine, second and 11, that stuff, you know, we're able to kind of tee off and kind of, you know, limit what they're able to do. But when a team is as good as Tampa is playing, you know, within rhythm, you know, second and five, second and four, they're ahead of the change, or they can kind of call whatever they want, favorable situations. And, you know, it kind of, just kind of keeps you on your toes a little bit, you know. So for us, not allowing that leaky yardage, you know, if we got a guy stopped in the hole for a 2 yard gain, you know, he's got to go down for a 2 yard mm-hmm. gain, you know. You know, that'll go a long way in just, you know, keeping teams behind the sticks and allowing our aggressiveness and, you know, and our attack style to kind of, you know, really, you know, just kind of be empowered.
What we're talking to Texans defensive tackle Sheldon Rankins. This game in the first quarter and a half looked like it was going to look like the 2023 game, 39-37 right. Early on. And then the game really settled down on both sides. What was it about the first two drives for Tampa and then the subsequent really almost two quarters that you guys shut them down? What kind of adjustments were you guys making?
Yeah, listen, I don't even think it was so much, you know, a lot of adjustments. You know, we came over, you know, we were able to kind of identify kind of how they were hitting us. You know, whether it was certain runs or, you know, certain ways they were trying to scheme up things and how they were blocking certain things with, you know, kind of bumping our guys out of gaps and certain things like that. So just coming back and emphasizing, you know, the things we talk about throughout the week, you know, being stout in the run game and, you know, everybody, you know, kind of just doing their job. You know, I think, you know, Monday night, you know, first home game, you know, emotions are high, mm-hmm. you know, guys are flying around trying to make plays, but, you know, sometimes can get a little out of whack. So, you know, those first couple of drives weren't us. You know, I think once we settled in and, you know, and really, you know, got back down to our basics, our fundamentals and what we're known to do, we had some success. So obviously, you know, the way the game works, you can't take out those first two drives. You know, we wish we could, but we got to start better. No, I think that's, you know, as simple as it is, you know, we got to start better. We can't allow a team as talented as that to put those drives together, to put points on the board and kind of keep us behind the eight ball. So we got to start better. But, you know, I think, you know, once we settled in, you know, you saw how, you know, how good we can really be. But at the end of the day, man, you just got to make those plays when they present themselves.
Texans defensive tackle Sheldon Rankins joining us on Texans postgame show. You know, look, we do radio 4 hours a day, so we got a lot of talking to do. 90's going to come up. But and fans, you know, we're going to talk about this for a week, right? And I think before we get to digging into the weeds, we talked about this early in the postgame show, is this the way this organization is built, the way this roster is built, is if the offense, if the game unfolds and they hand the defense a lead with 3 or 4 minutes in the game, that's the ideal situation. Is that crazy to think? Is that kind of the approach with I know you, a team you want to win, but right. But is that's the approach the way this one's built?
No, look,
right?
We as a defense, we put it on our back. You know, we feel like if we're given an opportunity to close out the game, we are 100% confident that we're going to do that. Obviously, we didn't get that done tonight, and we'll watch the tape and kind of figure out, you know, where we can be better at and make the corrections. But you're 100% right. We're a team that feels like, as a defense, that, you know, if they put us back on the field after our offense has given us a lead, you know, we're going to end the game. Unfortunately, we weren't able to get that done. But, you know, that won't stunt our confidence. That won't change our mentality about, you know, how we feel like we're supposed to finish and close games, because that's the type of team we are.
All right, that was Sheldon Rankins. There were a few more questions, but they were more about Sheldon personally, yeah. How he's doing. I think most people are curious what are the defensive guys who gave up those 169 yards on the ground thinking about after this game?
There's a lot of where the Bucs, to the credit, did a really good job using the Texans' aggression against them. And there's certain ways they operate on the defensive line there where you know, sometimes you get them with traps or things like that because guys are rushing upfield, but you can also exploit it by when the defensive line is firing off the ball. You don't have to double team them into oblivion, even though they did do that at times. But sometimes it's just a matter of knocking a guy, using his momentum and against him and knocking him out of his gap, and it creates a seam. And then meanwhile, the Texans linebackers were just... I think the Texans linebackers were really conscious of not getting beat in play action the way they did last week, but then they overcorrected, and they're just sitting back there waiting, absorbing blocks. You got linebackers trying to take on 320-pound offensive linemen while they're just standing there, and they're absorbing blocks, and they just created a lot of seams for those guys. The front seven in general just too many times was out of position. Whether it was one guy, two guys, there were times when, I mean, Foley Fatakasi, especially in the first half, was just really getting worked over on some double teams. And then the defensive ends at times were unaware, some of the backup defensive ends especially, but also the starters, when they'd get a kick out block, any kind of a pulling guard or a tight end coming across the formation, they didn't approach it right, and they didn't do it with physicality. The Bucks took D'Amico's defense and the way that front seven operates, and it was almost like it was like Aikido, you know, Steven Seagal's chosen martial art.
Yeah,
where you use your opponent's momentum against them.
Yeah,
and it doesn't even take all that much work.
Nope,
you just kind of let them go where they want to go, and they did a really good job of it. It was a really well coached offensive line. But they're playing with a bunch of backups. Like Charlie Heck, he wasn't even good enough to make this team.
Yeah.
Think about this for a second. Let's think about this for a second. Charlie Heck was not good enough to make the squad last year. The worst offensive lines in the league. Charlie Heck, not good enough. Charlie Heck was part of a unit that absolutely tore apart the Texans defense yesterday.
Came in the middle of the game, too.
Yeah. And he had some really bad plays at times. But it didn't kill them, though. But when you talk about, like, hey, the offensive line, the Bucks were not the offensive line they came into the season with. You've got a center playing offensive tackle. You lose your best right tackle. You're good right tackle. And they just found a way to just steadily destroy the Texans in the ground game.
But you've said this before about other players, which is there are bad plays on the offensive line, and then there are really bad plays on the offensive line.
Right.
Yeah. Remember, you used to say that about Xavier Suofilo. Like, yeah, most of his plays, he was pretty good. Problem was his bad plays completely torpedoed the other 10 guys on the field.
Fast.
So Charlie Charlie wasn't great, but he didn't have plays like that that were just completely squelching plays on the regular.
And you go into that game and like, okay, I don't know, like Bucky Irving and Rashad Whiteboy last week versus the Falcons, and the Falcons aren't a swarmy type of defense.
Yeah.
They both got held to 24 yards. Those guys both got held to 2 yards per carry or so and 24 yards each last week.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and, Bucky Irving's yards
yesterday
per carry.
Yesterday, he was Eric Dickerson.
Yeah, his yards per carry weren't as impressive as it felt at times, but then you remember, oh, yeah, they just kept running for 4 and 5 yards at a clip.
He was 4.2, right? He was 4.2. The thing was, there was never a negative play. You know, like, it was 4.2, the long was 16, and it felt like every carry was between 3 and 7 yards.
Yeah.
Almost.
And that's tough with the Texans. They make up for it at times because they'll come up and they'll make plays behind the line of scrimmage, and they did last night, and they had some good stuffs and everything. The third down defense was just a true. Did Tampa Bay end up?
6 of 14.
6 of 14.
Six of 14.
I'll say the Texans managed to keep them below 50%.
Yeah, they were 43%. We've got some really funny acronyms for swarm that we'll get to in the next segment.
Mine was stupid, reckless arm tackle.
I love that. Yeah. That's really good. We got some good ones. So if you send them in, we'll read some of them in the next segment. There were bright spots for the Texans, one in particular, but how sustainable is this? Can you keep winning games or hanging in games with this being your formula? We'll talk about that coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed. Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
It's a Mokarem Injury Lawyers Reaction Tuesday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Riley Dixon inside the 31-yard line, awaits the snap. It's on target, and he just gets rid of it. It's blocked. It goes off to the side, and it's picked up by the Houston Texans. They block it. Watson got over there. Jake Hansen. Wow.
All right, that block punt, and then later on in the fourth quarter, a 53-yard punt return by Jalen Knoll. Two huge special teams plays in this game. That blocked punt came after the possession where the Texans stalled on the one-yard line. So they ran those plays at the one-yard line. Say what you will about the play. I thought they were terrible play calls, especially third and fourth down by Nick Caley. But you do leave the Buccaneers on their own one, so there's that. Of course, when Christian Harris has a face mask that gets them back out to about the 20-yard line, that advantage is negated. Fortunately, the defense came up big, got off the field, and the special teams unit was able to block the punt. Is it crazy, Seth, that my thought at the block punt was crap? They didn't scoop and score, because I don't know how this team's going to get into the end zone tonight.
No, I don't
after
think you're
the
crazy
first
at all.
Drive of the
no,
game,
your standards
I'm like,
have to be higher than that. If this is going to be the first team in NFL history to win a Super Bowl by virtue of its special teams play,
yeah,
that's the kind of you got to be gotta greedy for more
score.
Than that. Scoop
yeah.
and score.
Now they did
scoop
get
and score. It was impressive enough of a blocked punt that you couldn't even tell who blocked the punt at first.
Right. You saw Vandy thought he got it off.
Yeah.
Oh. He gets it off. Oh, no, wait, it's blocked.
Well, and Joe Buck doesn't always see things immediately, yeah. But he called out somebody else before they corrected it to Jakob Johnson,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, was it Jakob Johnson?
It was Jakob Johnson, but everybody kind of converged in on yeah. it at once on the TV copy. At first, you couldn't quite tell.
Yeah, so that was a big special teams play. They get a field goal out of it because they can't move the football. And then the final drive is set up by a Jalen Knoll 53-yard punt return. And I don't know if concern is the right word. Frustration maybe is the right word, but I definitely have a question, which is, okay, that was to me the biggest bright spot last night, far and away, was Frank Ross's special teams.
Yeah.
Even before those two plays, the block punt and the return by Knoll.
Return, yeah,
yeah the special teams had done their job pretty well. You know, Tommy Townsend had punted pretty well, Kyme Fairbairn. Had made a field goal.
They intimidated. I think the swarm mentality intimidated the Bucks kicker into missing a field goal.
They missed a field goal. Yeah, right.
It was the swarm really there.
They
it
got
the power
there.
Of the swarm.
Knoll's opening kickoff return was a really good one. Got him out to about the 35 or 40-yard line. Special teams had played well in that game. But how sustainable is something like that to keep you in a game this way?
Well, this is going to be the first Super Bowl in NFL history that's won riding
special
the heels
teams.
Of special teams efforts. Yeah.
We'll
be lucky if we see a kickoff that actually hits the landing zone probably for the next 15 games, Sean.
That's what we would. If they had won that game, you know, we'd be giving Frank Ross the star of the game.
Yeah.
You know, because the special teams is what kept them in. It set up the field goal and set up the touchdown in the fourth quarter.
Marv Levy, very effective special teams coach who became a head coach and won, you know, John Harbaugh, once upon a time.
Super Bowl coach?
Once upon a time, he was a guy that really did the most. It was weird. Harbaugh went from winning a Super Bowl doing the absolute most with not that much to now squandering like an incredible embarrassment of riches over and over again.
Yeah. Well, he's pushing the limits of how much a Super Bowl can buy you in terms of goodwill. I just hate that those two plays in the end didn't matter last night because your defense couldn't get off the field on the final
drive. You go three. How many yards did they advance after that blocked punt?
After the blocked punt? I'll look it up.
They kicked the field goal after. I can't remember if they made positive yardage.
They didn't
or not.
Move any.
They didn't move any yards?
They didn't move zero yards after that.
Zero yards. Thank
punt.
You, Colin.
They took that enthusiasm and roiled it into an awe inspiring field goal.
Yeah, four plays, 0 yards.
Four plays, 0 yards. Well, yeah. Three plays.
They ate up. They chewed up 54 seconds of clock.
How were there four plays? Or are you just including the field goal in
there? There was a penalty, if I remember correctly.
Right. Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
okay.
Yep. So there you go. Four plays, 0 yards by the Texans. I'm just reading ESPN's play-by-play chart here. I just hate that those special teams plays were negated, and I don't know when the next block punt or 54-yard punt return is going
to
be.
It was just by the way, I want to illustrate that incredible four-play, zero-yard drive that led up to the field goal.
Yeah.
I mean, they put him in really good position. I can't remember. They probably had him dead center.
First and 10 at the 35-yard line. Yeah.
So it was incompletion. CJ, that.
The one where he threw behind
serious.
Hutchinson?
He threw behind Hutchinson, but he was trying not to get Hutchinson killed. Hutchinson should have sat down right there.
You give CJ a pass.
Yeah. I think that Hutchinson can settle down in the zone, or at least CJ was expecting him to.
Yeah.
CJ was trying not to get Hutchinson killed, just wanted to maybe anticipated him. Maybe this is one of the miscommunications that CJ was talking about. That's not a miscommunication. That's just those guys not being on the same page.
Yeah,
I don't think CJ all of a sudden got that inaccurate.
No.
0 yard run.
Chubb up the middle.
Yes. Yep. Incompletion. That was CJ Stroud. Pass incomplete, just, short middle to Nico Collins.
Skipped it to him. Then a field goal. So I guess they're counting the field goal as a play in this thing. So
when was the near Levante David interception? Where that's where I felt like we can't even throw interceptions, right?
Oh, that was that one. You're right. No, that was because L. David is the one who got the
pass. Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. It says incomplete, short, middle. Then it was a botched interception by Levante David.
Yeah. It should have been a pick
six. CJ under duress threw the ball directly to Levante David.
Hassan Reddick got the pressure, and Levante David had the ball hit him right in the chest.
I'll tell you what. Okay, as miserable as we feel this morning, can you imagine if with 5 minutes and 32 seconds left, that's how it had gone down? Score of 14-13, Tampa Bay, Houston. If Levante David had come down with that ball,
it was 14-10 because the field goal came.
14-10, yeah, 14-10.
So they're up 21-10, and the game's over.
Yeah,
it's a pick six that puts.
Well,
the
even
game
if it
away.
Wasn't a pick six, even if Levante David was down right there, it's just oh my gosh,
horrible play. It was a horrible. So you give Nico a pass for the Xavier Hutchinson miss. We don't give a pass for
not Nico. I give
CJ. Did I say Nico? CJ. Some of the swarm acronyms. Seth and I got very frustrated a couple segments ago with the swarm mentality, to where Seth.
It feels like the swarm has run amok.
Yeah,
it's out of control, and they're just running around all over the place, like a bunch of drunken honeybees. Yeah,
yes, it's run amok.
They've got zero. Like they're not making the right reads. They're not taking the right angles.
No,
they're not even trying to wrap up.
No,
Henry Toa Toa. It's just kind of, it's like he's closing his eyes and running and hoping to run into somebody, you know?
So SWARM, the acronym, we feel, at least for the time being, has become an insult to special work ethics and relentless mindsets.
Yeah.
Thus, here are some of the new acronyms that have been texted in for SWARM. Stand, watch, and react meekly.
Mm.
SWARM.
Yeah.
The guy who texted that didn't put SWARM afterwards.
You so got to add it at the end.
We have to yell SWARM after all these. Sadly winless and relentlessly mediocre.
SWARM!
So wacky and really mid.
SWARM!
Yes.
Mine was stupid, reckless arm tackling.
Oh, so you went ARM.
SWARM!
I like that. I like that. Simply whack-ass robots moving.
SWARM!
okay, this is... I think D'Amico would even appreciate this one, because we know that he uses work ethic as its own.
It's a janky
words.
Acronym. It's, just like mine. That's why I made SWARM. ARM. AARM is actually ARM.
Super janky. Yeah. Stop the excuses. Weak minds suck. Accountability really matters.
SWARM!
keep sending them in. As you can tell, we're very entertained by by all these.
Took us a little while to get the timing down on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's kind of like the old "you found it," yeah. You know? They had to go,
Josh.
One, two, three.
Yeah.
You found it.
Another one with multiple words. So wrapped up with attitude, risking missed tackles.
Oh, we are in the attitude era. This is the attitude era.
Yeah.
Swarm has become,
the attitude
to me, era. Like the cosplay of the linebackers of the mid-2010s.
Yes.
Where it just feels like, all right, man, it feels like a whole bunch of talk now.
Yeah.
Just got swarmed.
How about this? Seldomly rapping and routinely missing.
That's really good.
It's really good.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah,
it's seldomly rapping and routinely missing. It is dumb jock football.
Yes.
It's like they all listened to Iron Maiden for 3 hours before the game, and they're all hopped up on Red Bull.
Yes.
And they're just, usually, by the time you get to the NFL, you realize, especially after you've been in a few years, you're like, all right, I got to settle down a little bit. Uh-huh. I don't need me to listen to Metallica on a loop for 8 hours before the game. I got to keep my energy, like, right and everything. These guys are in high school mode. Of just getting tearing up a blocking dummy in the locker room while they're listening to just death metal and going out and playing like a bunch of idiots. Oh
man! All right, Payne and Pendergast.
It brings me back to the ephedrine days, man. I wonder if they got a bag of my old ephedrine laying around in the locker room there or something. That's how I used to play back when ephedrine was still legal. I was like just an idiot. I just hopped up there on gas station speed and doing so many stupid things.
That'd be great if they had a bowl of it sitting there like they used to with
the old mini thins
back in the day. The mini fins.
Remember the mini fins?
Oh, yeah. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you heading into the 9 o'clock hour. All right, this is going to be a painful one, but we got to do it. We do it every Tuesday at 9 o'clock. What are the experts saying about the Houston Texans?
It's Tuesday.
It's Tuesday. We power rank the power rankings.
The so-called experts.
Yeah.
We're going to be right on the nose.
Oh, yeah. We power rank the power rankings coming up.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.